World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
It was kind of crazy. Get up this morning. My wife, Michelle, had a cyst removed off her lower back last week. A little cyst, about the size of a quarter. They went and they cut it. And today she wakes up again for the second time. Her stitches are released. You guys ever hear that? I mean, I hear it happening once in a while. She had to go back to the doctor the other day because, I mean, the stitches had burst wide open. She went back, got restitched again, get up this morning, and it's broken again. Crazy, what's going on? Could it be we're in stitches? Is that a sign from the Lord that everywhere you look, we are in stitches? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Things seem to be coming apart, don't they? Now, here's a question. Good or bad that things are coming apart? What a time to be alive. What time to be alive. March, beware the Ides of March. We spoke about that the other day. I want to start out this morning with, Michelle's been doing this, so she kind of got me into it. Spencer, pull up Oswald Chambers, His Utmost for Our Highest. Or, no, we got it backwards. Huh? Whatever the heck it is. I sent you the link, Spence. I sent you the link. It says Utmost. I'm sorry, didn't make that clear. My Utmost for His Highest. It's always just, it's kind of a good way to start off your morning, right? His commission to us. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. This is love in the making. The love of God is not created. It is His nature. When we receive the life of Christ through the Holy Spirit, He unites us with God so that His love is demonstrated in us. The goal of the indwelling Holy Spirit is not just to unite us with God, but to do it in such a way that we will be one with the Father in exactly the same way Jesus was. What kind of oneness did Jesus Christ have with the Father? He had such a oneness with His Father that He was obedient when His Father sent Him down to be poured out for us. And He said to Him, as the Father has sent me, also send I you. What? Peter now realizes that he does not love Him. Try it again. Peter now realizes that he does love Him due to the revelation that came with the Lord's piercing question. The Lord's next point is pour yourself out. Don't testify about how much you love me. Don't talk about the wonderful revelation you have. Just feed my sheep. Just feed my sheep. Jesus has some extraordinarily peculiar sheep. Some that are unkempt and dirty, and some that are awkward or pushy, and some that have gone astray. It's impossible to exhaust God's love, and it's impossible to exhaust my love if it flows from the Spirit of God within me. The love of God pays no attention to my prejudices caused by my natural individuality. If I love my Lord, I have no business being guided by natural emotions. I have to feed His sheep. We will not be delivered or released from His commission to us, which is what? Go ye. Beware of counterfeiting the love of God, followed by your own natural human emotions, sympathies, or understandings. That will only serve to revile and abuse the true love of God. Wow. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. The greatest form of love is to tell somebody the truth. And we're in the midst that we're in the midst of this mess that we're in because nobody wants to tell the truth anymore. They don't want to. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't tell the truth. So look. The upheaval that's going on I'm trying to get my computer over here. Sorry, Spence. The upheaval that's going on with what's going on in Washington, D.C. What a time of unveiling and revealing that we find ourselves into. I'm gonna dump some stuff on you here this morning. Before I do, anybody just prompted by the Lord, anybody have any real specific prayer request you need out there right now. I just sense somebody does. Somebody really dealing with something. Anybody?
Well, just like you had mentioned before show, Mark Mattingly, keep him in prayer for, he said he's in the recovery home, kind of needing support. So anybody that has close ties with Mark, give him a call.
He would really appreciate it, folks. He'd really appreciate it. And Gary Pierce, boy, my wife barking at me. Gary Pierce, I'm not laughing. Gary was skiing over the weekend and broke his femur. So, you know, Gary's a good right and left-hand man to me, to us here at Pass the Salt. And just keep Gary in your prayers as well. Anybody else anything? Well, Lord, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're the King of the kings, the Lord of the lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You hold the whole world in your hands, Lord. We know that your word says that healing is the children's bread. We just pray for healing out there for those who need it, Lord, whatever it would be. It tells us in the book of Romans that we're to thank you. Thank God for all the problems and trials that we have because they develop patience and patience character and character hope, and hope does not disappoint. So, Lord, we just give you permission as if we need to. We just give you permission to do whatever you need to do, Lord. If we need spanked, you spank us. Whatever it is that you need to do to bring us back into our rightful mind, Lord. We just pray that you be glorified by all we say and all we do. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, going to dig into it here today. What's going on in Myrtle Beach? Pull that up. Have you guys seen that? Have you guys seen that? Pull up number one, Spence. It says down at the bottom. It's way down number one. Myrtle Beach is on fire. Anybody go to Myrtle Beach besides me? 1,200-acre wildfire at Myrtle Beach. What the heck is going on?
Yes, nefarious.
As my old buddy Flip Benham said, God has more disaster than the federal government has relief. And friends, I want you to know that. I want you to understand. Look, you better understand this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. And if we are really, really at a point where there is going to be an upheaval, an unveiling, a revealing of the wickedness in the American system of justice, if that's really going to, do you think they're going to take it laying down, folks? Huh? Divide and conquer, distract, right? I mean, this could just be, hey, this could just have happened out of nowhere, right? But man, oh, man, what the heck? It's one of my favorite places in the world to go is Myrtle Beach. You just go there with our kids all the time when we were just growing up. What the heck's going on? What the heck is going on? Okay, I want to show you something here. Pull up RFK on that. I'm going to show you a couple things about RFK this morning. Guy's brave, you know what? Guy's brave. Robert F. Kennedy said this today. We didn't say it today, 22 hours ago. Our real enemy isn't Russia or Ukraine. It's not even China. It's the ones who induced and tried to perpetuate wars so they can launder billions of our money into their own pockets. It's the ones who funded revolts and instability all over the world via USAID. By the way, remember, John F. Kennedy warned us about infiltration rather than invasion, right? Playing out right in front of us. The Luciferian, the God-hating left has seized control of the government. And whether we want to admit it or not, we are not one nation under God, indivisible. We are under the control of the Luciferians, friends. It's the ones who committed unspeakable crimes on children on an island and held themselves above the law. Somebody say amen. Vinny, you're my amener out there, Vinny. Here's what we're fighting against. We're a Republican Democrat. It's the ones who manipulate people with endless propaganda by using our tax dollars. It's the ones who have sown so much division among our own people. It's the ones who shot my dad, my uncle, and real Donald Trump in the head. It's ones who have poisoned our own people for years. I'm talking about food. It's just so they can make a profit. They're the same group of people. Can you scroll up, Spence, please, a little bit? And they will not, and we will not stop until we splinter them. Lost my spot there. Hang on. We will not stop until we stop doing that. Until we splinter them, the deep state, into 1,000 pieces and reclaim our country. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Huh? Pretty powerful. That's who it is. But see, what Robert F. Kennedy doesn't say, and what we don't say in the American church, it's the Luciferians, folks. The Luciferians. And when we come in trying to have some kind of change, we bring in, God sends a guy like Donald Trump, good or bad, I don't care what you think about Trump. He is a, what would they call it? He is a, he causes a lot of, for once my brain ain't working, thinking the word that he is. He's a disruptor. Thank you, Lord. He's a disruptor. We better ask ourselves this. Are we prepared for the disruption? Are we really? Because I'm going to tell you, you know, they told us they're going to release the Epstein list. And they did, but not really, they didn't. Now, why didn't they? Because those who Robert F. Kennedy's talking about over here, who are pulling the strings, they don't want that list. In fact, has that list been destroyed? That Epstein list, has it been destroyed? What about all this other stuff? What about those James Comey and his guys? Have they been destroying records behind the scenes? Was James Comey part of it? Was Bill Barr part of it? Are we foolish enough to think that a Christian man can swim in the alligator swamp of Washington, D.C.? I don't know, folks. I don't know. And I think we're sitting on the precipice here at the Ides of March on March 3rd. I think we're sitting on the edge of something. Pull up number three real quick here, Spencer. Pull up Dan Bongino, who now, by the way, he's part of the government. Listen to what Dan Bongino said. I'll get to you, Joseph. Hang on.
Gentlemen, justice delayed is justice denied. I hate cliches and tropes. But it's true. Justice delayed is not justice. You've taken away time, money. You've taken away this guy's life. You've taken his money, his sanity, like everything. The process is the punishment. This isn't justice. Now, thank the Lord, and I'm not using his name in vain, that Penny, when he was subjected to this ridiculous freaking show trial for defending...
He's talking about, was it Jonathan Penny, the guy on the subway that subdued some attacker on there? That's what he's talking about. Go ahead.
People on that train who thanked him, by the way. Thankfully, he was acquitted. He was not declared innocent, by the way. The language matters. There's no such thing as innocent. He was declared not guilty. Those are not the same thing. That's liberal terminology. He wasn't innocent. Nobody's innocent, dumbass. Innocent. What are you talking about innocent? He's not guilty. There's a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, justice delayed is justice denied. Stop.
One more thing. Bring up RFK on who's calling the shots. Hey, friends. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And the average American, certainly the average Christian, has no idea that what we are seeing is not politics. It is spiritual warfare playing out in front of us. That's what it is. That's what it is. And we still don't have it figured out. And it ain't Republican, Democrat. Do you have any idea how many Republicans hate Donald Trump? Okay, here's Robert F. Kennedy again. Sorry, I'm a good couple. It's 3 minutes and 18 seconds.
A war that should have never happened. It's a war the Russians tried repeatedly to settle on terms that were very, very beneficial to Ukraine and us. The major thing they wanted was for us to keep NATO out of the Ukraine. The big military contractors want to add new countries to NATO all the time. Why? Because then that country has to conform its military purchases to NATO weapon specifications, which means certain companies, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, General Dynamics, Boeing, and Lockheed, get a trapped market. In March of 2022, we committed $113 billion. Just to give you an example, we could have built a home for almost every homeless person in this country. We then committed another $24 billion since that 2 months ago, and now President Biden's asking for another $60 billion. But the big, big expenses are going to come after the war, when we have to rebuild all the things that we destroyed. Mitch McConnell was asked, can we really afford to spend $113 billion to Ukraine? He said, don't worry. It's not really going to Ukraine.
It's going to American defense manufacturers.
So he just admitted it's a money laundering scheme. And who do you think owns every one of those companies? BlackRock. So Tim Scott, during the Republican debate, said, don't worry, it's not a gift to Ukraine, it's a loan. So raise your hand if you think that that loan's ever getting paid back. Yeah, of course it's not. So why do they call it a loan? Because if they call it a loan, they can impose loan conditions. And what are the loan conditions that we impose on? Number one, an extreme austerity program, so that if you're poor in Ukraine, you're going to be poor forever. Number two, most important, Ukraine has to put all of its government-owned assets up for sale to multinational corporations, including all of its agricultural land, the biggest single asset in Europe, in Ukraine. There's been 1,000 years of war fought over that land. It's the richest farmland in the world. It's the breadbasket of Europe. 500,000 kids, almost, Ukrainian kids, have died to keep that land as part of Ukraine. They almost certainly didn't know about this loan condition. They've already sold 30% of it. The buyers were DuPont, Cargill, and Monsanto. Who do you think owns all of those companies? Yeah, BlackRock. And then in December, President Biden gave out the contract to rebuild Ukraine. And who do you think got that contract? BlackRock. So they're doing this right in front of us. They don't even care that we know anymore, because they know that they can get away with it. And how do they know that? Because they have a strategy. And that strategy is an old, old strategy, which is they keep us at war with each other. They keep us hating on each other. They keep the Republicans and Democrats fighting each other, black against white, and all these divisions that they sow.
So I don't know if I was mis-
This is a war.
Wow, huh?
Characterizing that. You had this.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. So I asked the question before
that's
we went
a kaboom.
Live. Hang on, Paul. Before we went live, I asked this question in the pre-show. I'm going to ask you this. Who's more Christian? Who's more Christian, Joe Biden or Putin? Who's more Christian? Do we know? Who's more Christian, Putin or Kamala Harris? Putin or Lindsey Graham? Putin or Mitch McConnell? So see, we have to understand the power of propaganda. The power of propaganda. And always know this, that at the end of the day, it's about money. It's about picking somebody's pocket at the end of the day. What President Trump did with when he booted that sex freak, I'm sorry, out of the Oval Office, is he reset the table. Now, what's it going to look like? What is that going to look like? I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not. All of a sudden, now the UK is sending money to the Ukraine. Does anybody think the UK has any money? UK doesn't have any money. They get their money from us. You think about the nations in Europe. We're worried about NATO and keeping the nations together. Poland and Great Britain and Italy. And just run down through them. Greece. Just run down through them. They're all dependent on our money. Do you get it, folks? Do you get it? Do you get what's going on here? And so President Trump, whether it's genius or not, is kind of changing the tempo there. And he says, okay, we're not going to defend you guys over there anymore. Hey, England, go for it. You guys go for it. Now, hang on. Because people get caught up in it and say, well, coach, the Bible's lining up. End times lining up. Well, maybe. But the reality of it is, how much longer are we going to continue to waste our money because of the big bear, Russia. Have you noticed it? Have you noticed that in all these battles that are going on, Russia's always the bad guy? Russia. What's going on? How come they're picking for us bad guys? I got more. Joe Allen, come on in.
What is the left or the incorrupt people that start with is chaos.
Joseph, hang on a second, Joseph, because I'm going to stop you right there. Folks, let's stop thinking left and right. Let's start thinking believer, non-believer, okay? Believer, okay. Non-believer. Okay, go ahead.
All right, non-believer. Non-believer down here in South Carolina, as soon as Trump's going through this thing with Putin and Kalinske there, these wildfires start. My son down in Charleston's involved with them because they got them up with the bulldozers. All of a sudden, all the stuff happened last week. No rain, clear skies, not even chemtrails out. No lightning. Chaos. All we have now is chaos because Trump's up there doing his job.
And then distraction, chaos, yada, yada, yada. Again, folks, look, I don't care if you're in the Trump camp. I don't care about that. I'm telling you, I couldn't care anymore. But isn't it time somebody, I don't care who it is, stepped in and said, sorry, we're not going to rob the American people anymore to pay for that. We're not going to do this anymore. Russia. Have you noticed that's been at the heart of the 20 years? Has it been 20 years? Russia. Huh? Hillary, Russia. Huh? Russia. Why? What is that all about? Because they're a good boogeyman, aren't they? They're a good boogeyman. Russia. And I've never been overseas. I've never been to Europe. Somebody help me out. Somebody out there is far better world traveler than me. Is Europe Christian? Somebody help me. Europe, Christian, Italy, they Christian, Poland, Great Britain, is Great Britain Christian? Wow. As far as I know, NATO has lived off of us.
Boom.
Huh? Yeah, Ray, is the Pope Christian in Rome? What's going on, folks? Don't forget. Evil men crept in unaware, changed the truth of God into life. Worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Huh? Come on, open up. Can two walk together lest they agree? I can't. It's hard to trust a believer. Trust non-believers? Huh? They're going to keep their word? Pull up Ted Nugent. Pull him up here. He's going to say a bad word. Listen, Ted Nugent.
If you're not fighting for freedom, people that hate freedom will win like they did through scams and lies and cheating in 2020. Joe Biden is not even, I don't think he's a human being. I think he's some kind of scab of the devil. Well, that's a nasty thing to say. No, I'll tell you what's nasty is propping up a mentally retarded idiot who hates America and burns our tax dollars by the trillions. And now the great President Donald Trump and Elon Musk and the Doge team, Department of Government Efficiency, watch closely. You don't have to because it's everywhere. Watch who is protesting the discovery and the pursuit of wasted, fraudulent, immorally abused and spent tax dollars by hardworking Americans. Watch who's upset by that. That's all you need to know. Those people who are upset. I wish I had Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem, who voted for Hakeem? Hakeem. And the one, the Ilhan Omar, who would vote for these people? I don't think people did. They're protesting the spotlighting of immorally wasted tax dollars because they support immorally wasted tax dollars. Do you know how many billions of your hard-earned tax dollars, especially mine, I work really hard, and God, do they rape and pillage my earnings? And by the way, if we've discovered $1 trillion in wasted tax dollars that we're actually getting back, thank you, Elon Musk, thank you, President Trump, how about you give that money back to the people that they stole it from? No. If you found our stolen money, we want it back. And the people who stole it need to go to jail. Everybody in the Joe Biden administration.
People stole it, go to jail. We want our money back, right? We want our money back. Oh, my goodness. Come on in, Randy. Russia.
Coach, if we can't. I just challenge everyone to go read history. Go back and read late 1800s when communism was taking over and what happened and who the Bolsheviks are, who the Zionists are. Go read and see what happened. See the plan they put together. It's very easy to see. It's very easy to read. It's very clear. The Bolsheviks were a creation, just like Hamas is a creation of terrorism today. They were a creation of terrorists. They were communists. They took over Russia. What did they do? They took the country. They killed the czar. They killed all his family. Why? Then they took all their money. They stole gold. Why? Why did they connect themselves with the Zionists? Why did they connect themselves with John Nelson Darby's teaching and Schofield and all this stuff? Because they had a plan, Coach.
Mm.
They had a plan. And if you can't see it, and they laid it out, Albert Pike laid it all out, in the manifesto that he put together, and he was a highest level Mason, most evil man maybe ever lived. And he put it together and they created this plan, World War I, II, and III, and they've carried it out.
Yeah.
And Coach, if you can't understand this, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with prophecy. It has everything to do with evil and the lack of light on the earth to stop it. And that's the only thing that hasn't stopped it. It's going to stop. Amen. We got to see Russia as our friend and not our enemy. We have to see Putin as someone who's trying to destroy the oligarchs and the system and get on the right side of this thing. We are so
Donald Trump said to that little guy from Ukraine, one little guy to another guy, I just want to stop the killing. I just want to stop the killing. What? And they don't want to stop the killing, do they? They don't want to stop the killing because you know what's next? They're going to send your boys. Your sons and daughters to Ukraine. That's coming next. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You better know that is. Why? Because the devil hates Christianity. Hates it. Okay, pull up C. Pull up C. I'm going to show you Elon Musk. Say what you want to about Elon Musk. I want you to play. This is Alex Jones, but I want you to play the first 2 minutes of what Elon Musk tells us. Hey, look, folks. I don't care if you like Elon Musk. I don't care. Truth is truth, all right? Listen to what Elon Musk says they're doing to us. Go ahead.
Hardcore for Trump was because, to me, this was a fork in the road, a very obvious fork in the road. If they had another 4 years, they would legalize enough illegals in the swing states to make the swing states not swing states. They would be blue states. Then they would win the presidential. They'd win the House, the Senate, and the presidency. They would then make district, D.C., into a state, maybe Puerto Rico, get four extra senators, pack the Supreme Court. So then you'll have the House, Judiciary, Senate, and presidency, all blue. And then they will keep importing more illegals to cement that outcome. Basically what happened in California.
Jesus Christ.
Freeze it. Freeze it. Hey, folks. If America goes under, who's going to carry the Christian banner across the world? And if you were the devil, wouldn't you do everything that you could do to destroy Christian America? Christian America. I mean, we can call them globalists. We can call them whatever we want to. But at the end of the day, you serve somebody. You serve somebody. If you don't serve the Lord, then you serve self, which is, by the way, serving the devil. And so they look across the expanse. They've destroyed Christian Europe. They've destroyed it. And the only bastion against any of this wickedness is Christian America. And so their goal is to do what? Poison Christian America. Move this forward to the 5-minute mark, if you would. Just more of the same 5-minute mark. I'm not Alex. Elon Musk. Now, hey, folks, I trust him about as far as I can throw him. Musk. I don't know what his intentions are. But remember this? Somebody help me out here. Somewhere in that Bible, they came along. They came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, these people over here, they're doing good stuff. And they ain't even up with us, Lord. They're over here doing good stuff. But what did Jesus say? Anybody know what he said?
They're not against us, they're for us.
Leave them alone. Think about, cheesy, crummy. Think what Donald Trump has done for Christianity while the pastors sit on their arses. It's unbelievable that he's not Christian enough for us. And you know what? It isn't really about his personal Christianity. By their fruit, you will know them. Boom. Did anybody stand up in their living room and cheer when he told that little punk from Ukraine, get the hell out of here? Anybody, huh? You know why? Because that was a man's man, and America ain't used to that. America is used to those phony rich guys in Washington, D.C., reaching across the aisle to their friend across the aisle. That guy across the aisle ain't your friend, dude. Or wait a minute, maybe he is your friend, and maybe you and he are on the same team, and I haven't figured it out yet. Go ahead and play this 5 minutes. He'll come back in here. Elon will come back in here. Say what you want about Alex. Go ahead.
Hardcore for Trump was because, to me, this was a fork in the road, a very obvious fork in the road. If they had another 4 years, they would legalize enough illegals in the swing states to make the swing states not swing states. They would be blue states. Then they would win the presidential. They'd win the House, the Senate, and the presidency. They would then make district, D.C. into a state, maybe Puerto Rico, get four extra senators, pack the Supreme Court. So then you'll have the House, Judiciary, Senate, and presidency, all blue. And then they will keep importing more illegals to cement that outcome. Basically what happened in California.
Jesus Christ.
It would have been the end. That's why I went so hardcore for Trump. It would otherwise have been the end. And that's why the Democrat machine is so intent on destroying me.
It's just so fascinating that people can't see this.
I mean, I invite people to do their research. The more they do their research, the more they will see that what I'm saying is absolutely true. Just do the research.
That's right. We had to take this fork.
Okay. Just do the research. Why, folks, don't miss it. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. That's the battle. If a Christian America goes down, what does the world look like? Again, I'm not a world traveler. Italy Christian, Germany Christian, Poland, Czechoslovakia. But folks, Europe was Christian. Europe was Christian. And now they're sucking off the teat of America. We're keeping them alive with this thing called NATO, sucking us dry. And dare I say it, all those guys getting money in their pockets. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, Musk had it right on with the infiltration concept, but he didn't say what they're using as their major tool. The Wisconsin, Colorado, Maryland bring illegals in, give them driver licenses, which are now federal licenses, and then they move them to places like Maine that's begging, Christian conservatives begging for voter ID so they can be destroyed with it.
So what's the solution, Jack?
Back to states' rights, what Trump is sort of pushing without really knowing what he's doing. States' rights.
Amen.
It's voter ID. People don't understand the difference between voter ID and proof of citizenship. There's no requirement for voter ID. There is a requirement for proof of citizenship. Simple.
Amen. Amen. Johnny.
Can we revoke those IDs? I mean, can he do that? Why can't he do it? It's against the law anyway. It was all
Can't. It's the Patriot Act. It's the Patriot Act. It's
There we go again, huh? There we go. See, what we need to do is they need to do a 3-day registration of voters. You have to show up with your ID, your proof of citizenship, and re-clean the voter rolls. Hey, folks, look. This isn't a 50-50 country. The depth of the, I don't want to use the term cheating, but the cheating, the depth of the corruption in our electoral system. Get my brain to work here. Ted Nugent, was he the one that said, how did these people get elected? And they got us focusing on the presidency. How are some of these elected officials locally? Not your governor. Not your mayor. I'm talking about your elected representatives that go to Washington, D.C. Who the hell voted for these people? Or better yet, some of you out there, Glenn, some of you out there on the Central Committee, how do these people get in positions of authority? Who selects the ones that are going to run? Oh, my goodness. Come on. Jeff Klein.
Coach, we hear, you always hear blue city, blue states. You know where Danville, Ohio is?
I do.
Hello,
Blue Devils. The Blue Devils.
Yeah, a little village. It's not even a town. It's a village. Last week, I heard one guy complaining. They're going to the police department in Danville asking why we have illegal immigrants causing havoc in Danville, Ohio. There's groups of them in Danville.
Unbelievable. Well, Elon Musk told us, right? Told us that's what they wanted to do. Bring them all in, make them citizens. They're not Christians. They don't understand Christianity at all. Hey, folks, spiritual war. Spiritual war. John F. Kennedy said, what? Infiltration, not invasion. Where we are. Mark Trump.
Yeah, Coach, it's moving towards the identification. We're going to have to prove identification of who we are.
Yeah.
How are they going to do that? How are they going to do it? All right, you got the DMVs.
A little chip or a little code.
There you go. You got the DMVs. And look at how arduous they make it to get a car license. Your ID process is right there in DMV. So think about a nationalized section of the DMV that does voter-related and identity-related proofing. Okay, think about a passport, what you got to go through to get a passport. These are the things that they have to do digitally in order for it to be managed. Look at how long it takes to get a passport. Proof of identity, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what's holding everything up. So when y'all start seeing forced identity processes like the DMV, that's when we're right before something changing, Coach. And then it's going to tie into the economy and money, whatever that ends up being. Okay?
Well, we know this, folks. We know this. They got to do something with the money. They got to do something with the money. However, $36 trillion in debt, whatever it was. Ask yourself this question. Who do we owe that to? Who do we owe this debt to? Well, we know the money's just printed out of thin air, right? And so we see now they're doing cryptocurrencies, coming up with new kinds of money. Now was it President Trump just issued an order to store crypto? Did I see that right? Huh? When Jack McCarthy? Gold and silver's legal tender, isn't it? Isn't gold and silver legal tender? Why are we moving away? See, folks, nothing that hidden that'll not be revealed. Pull up Oliver Anthony for you. You know, folks, it's amazing how God just raises up these people out of nowhere. Put this on 1.5 speed. And who would have ever thought that, you know who he is, right? Richmond, what was the name of his song? It doesn't matter. Huh?
Richmond from Richmond.
Say it again, Vinny.
Richmond from Richmond.
Play this. Oliver Anthony now is a... he writes a song and he's the national spokesman. But put it at 1.5 speed and just listen to his common sense. Whatever happened to common sense? Yes, that's right. Christopher Lunsford's his name. Go ahead.
I appreciate for your opportunity, for your time. I've only got a few minutes here, so I've written some things down so you don't have to listen to me ramble. But there is an evil
Hang on. All he did was make a song. That's all this guy did. And look how he's been elevated. Go ahead.
The sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions, while the rich occupy low ones. I have seen slaves on horseback, while princes go on foot like slaves. Since August of 2023, I have received a flood of messages, social media, email, handwritten letters. I've had I don't know how many conversations with people face to face, probably thousands at this point. And I realize now that we don't have any clue to how many around us are really broken, how many are silently suffering and barely hanging on. More often than not, they start the message with, hey, I'm a nobody, but, followed by horrors of addiction, mental illness, financial and household struggles, oftentimes incredibly complicated stories that I suspect they may have never told anyone before, but they still have hopes of a hopeful future and they don't want to give up no matter what. And it kills me because these people, they aren't nobodies, as they describe themselves. Our modern society's convenient, comfortable, fragile little existence is oftentimes carried on the backs of these self-declared nobodies. And forgive my generalization, but in the modern world, we are so busy idolizing the genuine nothings of society, the self-centered celebrities, spineless politicians, clickbait social media influencers. It seems from my perspective that oftentimes these people live comfortable little lives while many of our real heroes are drugged through the mud and never once given a genuine thank you for it. But it's not just them that are hurting. We all are. I mean, that's why you're here at this conference, right? That's why people have traveled from all over the world to gather here. You all realize that it's time to do something. So to set the record straight, I'm not here as an intellectual or a psychologist or a politician or even a respected member of society, all things considered. I'm a high school dropout who lives in a log cabin in the woods in Virginia. I myself am just a 32-year-old nobody. So I'm just here today as the messenger. I believe that many of the problems identified at this conference are quite possibly symptoms of a bigger problem. We currently exist in an age of rapid digital immersion. The current average American teenager will have spent something like 30,000 hours by the time they are 30 on social media. The average American spends 6 to 9 hours a day staring at devices. And whether it's a city sidewalk, a family dinner table, the receptionist at an office, even people driving their damn cars down the roadway, I constantly see the struggle between maintaining conscious attention in the real world and the overwhelming pull we feel towards the digital one. And in my unprofessional opinion, neuroplasticity has made us increasingly digitally proficient, but at a cost of being digitally dependent. And if being hired on as a London cab driver can change your brain on an MRI scan, and if life experiences like PSD can alter the DNA in sperm, what irreversible alterations will 30,000 hours of staring into algorithmically fed state of hypnosis do to the human mind or to their offspring? And in this short breath of time, we live in a state of existence that quite possibly no one else in world history has. We have both access to instant global connectivity, infinite information, and consumer-level access to artificial intelligence, but we are the last few humans in world history who remember what life was like before it. We are the last living people in history to have experienced life before the digital age. And I fear that it may become nearly impossible for younger generations to even differentiate the digital world from the real one before the end of my lifetime. There is nothing inherently wrong with technology. There is nothing wrong with instant connection. And there is nothing intrinsically bad about access to abundant information. But what is bad is the lack of control and agency we have over these systems. And without realizing it, we are being programmed and our culture is becoming commodified. Therefore, the more time we spend on these digital information systems, the more we revert to the mean of one of a fixed set of broad internet cohorts. In other words, the more time we spend online, the more commoditized our culture, the more tribal our psychology, and the more vulnerable we become. When the floods first came to Western North Carolina last year, where I used to live, there were tens of thousands of people who showed up to help from all over the country. No one asked them, no one paid them, and most of the world has no idea they were ever even there. I was there the same day that the governor of North Carolina came for his little photo op. He made a public announcement that day saying that the current statewide death toll with the floods. But that same morning alone, volunteer veterans with cadaver dogs that I had met with had pulled 15 bodies out of a single pile of debris near the KOA campground in Swannanoa. The statewide count at that point had to have been well into the hundreds. I believe the number the governor used that day was 28. In fact, there was a reefer truck that sat for 2 days full of bodies because the morgues were overflowing. And while FEMA was hoarding donated generators and denying people on their applications, it was the nobodies of the world that were driving ATVs and Jeeps with chainsaws up mountain roads rescuing people. There was two guys we met that hot-wired a bulldozer from a quarry to cut a navigable path through a washed-out road in 2 days that the state said would take months, allowing supplies to people who hadn't had contact with anyone in over a week. Volunteers were working 16 hours a day, taking supplies on everything from horses to helicopters. It was humanity there in front of my very eyes. And it was in that 7 days in North Carolina that changed everything for me. It was people saving people. Even with lack of leadership, failed protocols, and overwhelming inefficiency from the state, the nobodies took up the slack. And so I'm just here to remind you that we don't need our false idols. We should no longer rely on politicians who bow down to money to manage our city or our states. We need to find the real leaders everywhere and empower them. Western North Carolina was proof to me that there is an army of good people left in this world who want to do good things. We just have to give them places to gather and give them the ability to act. And so I close with this. Do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass they will soon wither, like green plants they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so I'll see you on April the 5th in Spruce Pine, North Carolina for the first official gathering. It is now my life's mission to revive rural America one town at a time. It's called the Rural Revival Project. So thank you for listening.
Boom, huh? Boom. And by the way, isn't that really kind of the theme here? Isn't that really the theme here? To turn the Randys loose and the Craigs loose and the JRs loose and the Rays loose and the Mels loose and Dave Allison's loose, Jeff Klein's loose. Just turn them loose to go do little things right where you live. Because if we get focused on the big stuff around us, do you have any idea how many people around you agree with you? Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how much we outnumber them, how much we outweigh them, how much we would overwhelm them? But we can't even get along in our churches. We can't even get pastors to work together with one another. We can't even get the pastors in our local community to end the, dare I say it, the DEI, the sexualization of our children in the public schools. We can't even get our churches to get together on that. Right? When everything's local. Everything local. But some of you out there know how much you've struggled to try to get local people to help you do anything. And what do? They turn to the Republicans. Let's go. No, I'm not making fun of anybody. Let's go get on the Republican Central Committee. That'll change things. Oh, yeah? How's that going? Because when you get on the Republican Central Committee, all you see is what's really going on. Point number four. Here's the truth. Hang on. Do it backwards. Pull up number two. Because here is what's being programmed in front of you and me. But it doesn't matter because you and I, we're in a different place. Our children, this is what is being paraded to our children as normal. Go ahead. This is only 27 seconds. Go ahead.
Do you identify as?
I'm a lesbian.
They, she.
They, he, non-binary, trans, mask.
Bisexual.
I'm just trans. I'm a gay male pup. Yeah.
Gay male pup?
Yeah.
Transgender. He am.
I'm a cis, she, her.
Probably non-binary, yeah, would be the best.
What about you? Bi?
A lesbian. Bye-bye.
I like frogs, not people. I'm sorry? I like frogs, not people. Do you identify as?
Folks, hang on. Now listen to me. This is promoted in your school while the name of Jesus isn't allowed to be mentioned. Now we have to ask ourselves, whoever brought this into our schools, can we trust them to bring morality back? And the only way things are going to change, we got to get involved. There's far more force than there. And didn't Jesus say that? Didn't Jesus say that? There are far more force than there are against us. We just sit back and let it all happen. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, we had a little get-together Friday night. Some adults and some few youth in our church get together for an evening. We sit around, we chatted for a while, and some things were talked about. So finally, I told him right towards the end, I looked at Pastor Matt and his wife. I said, you know what? And the whole group's listening. And the young people were listening to us. That was the purpose. I said, you know, we've had 30, 40 years of Bible studies. Bible studies are okay. I said, but we Bible study after Bible study after Bible study. It's time to start speaking up. So yesterday morning, and I didn't know how it would go with that whole group down there on Friday night, but I thought, let me just drop a bomb in here. Sunday morning, Pastor Matt's talking about family. He sounded like JR, the family being destroyed and this and that. And he said, you know, he said, JC said something Friday night that caught my attention. And he repeated what I said. And I'm sitting there like, there you go. Stop with all the Bible studies. It's all we do. You know what I mean? There's no action.
Amen. Study, man. So here's the reality of it. Huh? Here's the reality of what we're permitting to happen. Remember, the Bible says it'd be better for you, me, to put a millstone around our neck than to deceive one of these little ones who believe in me. Here's a post-tranny. Go ahead.
And I'm a detransitioner. Another way to put that would be, I used to believe that I was born the wrong body. And the adults in my life, whom I trusted, affirmed my belief. And this caused me lifelong, irreversible harm. I speak to you today as a victim of one of the biggest medical scandals in the history of the United States of America. I speak to you in the hope that you will have the courage to bring the scandal to an end and ensure that other vulnerable teenagers, children, and young adults don't go through what I went through. At the age of 12, I began to experience what my medical team would later diagnose as gender dysphoria. I was well into an early puberty, and I was very uncomfortable with the changes that were happening to my body. I was intimidated by male attention, and when I told my parents that I felt like a boy, in retrospect, all I meant was that I hated puberty, that I wanted this newfound sexual attention to go away, that I looked up to my brothers a little bit more than I did to my sisters. I came out as transgender in a letter I sent on the dining room table. My parents were immediately concerned. They felt like they needed to get outside help from medical professionals, but this proved to be a mistake. It immediately set our entire family down a path of ideologically motivated deceit and coercion. The gender specialist I was taken to see told my parents that I needed to be put on puberty blocking drugs right away. They asked my parents a simple question. Would you rather have a dead daughter or a living transgender son? The choice was enough for my parents to let their guard down, and in retrospect, I can't blame them. This was the moment that we all became victims of so-called gender-affirming care. I look in the mirror sometimes, and I feel like a monster. My specialist first told my parents that they could have a dead daughter or a live transgender son. I wasn't suicidal. I was a happy child who struggled because she was different. However, at 16, after my surgery, I did become suicidal. I needed to be given therapy to help me work through my issues, not affirmed to my delusion that by transforming into a boy, it would solve all my problems. We need to stop telling 12-year-olds that they are born wrong, that they are right to reject their own bodies and feel uncomfortable with their own skin. We need to stop telling children that puberty is an option. Puberty is a rite of passage to adulthood, not a disease to be mitigated. Today, I should be at home with my family celebrating my 19th birthday. And instead, I'm making a desperate plea to my elected representatives. Learn the lessons from other medical scandals like the opioid crisis. To recognize that doctors are human too, and sometimes they are wrong. Please let me be your final warning. Thank you. My name is Chloe. Chloe Cole.
Man. What do you say? All with the approval, silence of the American church. So in a funny sort of way, we kind of double back around. What was once Christian America. By the way, I got to get Pastor Charles Jennings back on here to let us understand Caucasians, the gospel of Jesus Christ, went from Israel to the world, to the Caucasus Mountains, up through Sweden, up through England. The gospel of Jesus Christ, I hate to say it, became a white man's religion. Huh? Oh, yeah, when it went to the Anglo-Saxons. They got on boats and they took it to America. And he took Christianity to America and they founded a nation based on Christian principles, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, all Christian principles, all of them Christian principles. And in the 72 years of my lifetime, it's been a full court press to destroy Christianity. And for the most part, the church still doesn't understand it. They still don't understand it. Jesus said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And we have a government that is elected by the people. We, the people, elect the government. And the church is divided over which team to be on. Divide and conquer. The oldest trick in the book. We live in a town, most of us, where there's a church on every corner, many of them closing down, by the way, with the big old steeples. And then we move into these new churches that look like, health spas rather than churches. Like you're going into a nightclub, fancy lights, smoke machines, everybody in there acting like everything's good when everything ain't no good. It isn't good. Are you the salt of the earth, light of the world? Are we or are we not? Do we have an obligation outside the four walls of this building, or do we not? Jesus said, go ye. We say, come ye. Come, come, come. Come on in here. Come on in here. And we'll smoke machines and lights, and we'll dance, and we'll sing, and we'll praise the Lord. And then you go out there, and you don't do anything. See you again in 6 weeks. See you in 6 days. See you back here again. Oh, by the way, tithe. Because if you tithe, we can expand all this. We can get a bigger lights, bigger smoke machines. By the way, religion and politics don't mix, so we'll stay away from all of that. And then we'll leave a trail of destruction throughout the entire 20th and 21st century when the church decided it would no longer be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. When the church was told by the outside world that we're to love everybody. We're not to be judgmental. We're not to criticize people. We're just supposed to love, 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 love. And who are you to judge? Keep it to yourself. And don't, keep your morality to yourself. Don't bring it into our schools. The American public schools where George Washington, when he funded the American public schools, put Bibles in the public schools.
Boom.
And here we are. So I don't know where I started today, but I always come back to the same thing, don't I? Arise, O men of God. Arise, church, arise, church, rise. Stand up, speak up, push back, plant a flag. I'm going to tell you this, in all of my last activism years, I've never seen the world more open to the gospel than they are right now. Never. If we can get the church to quit being so heavenly conscious that they're no earthly good, if we can get the church to once again take the responsibility or the admonition to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. If we could get the church to do that, things can still be rescued. That's what I think. See you tomorrow.